historic context here. The children of Israel under Joshua, Moses has died and is buried on the other side of Jordan. The children under Joshua have come across the Jordan River. They have taken Jericho, they've taken Ai, a number of other cities. And the armies of Israel are marching through the land of Canaan, taking city after city after city. And as the word gets out, the Gibeonites determine that they better make peace with this onrushing army or they're going down too. And so they, by deceitful means, establish a peace treaty with Joshua and the armies of Israel. And Joshua and the Israelites agree to defend them should they come under attack. And they do. And that's the story that we're going to read this morning, beginning here at verse 5. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to help us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of Maler. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed. We all remember this story, don't we? This portion of it, at least. Until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. You understand what happened here? Joshua commanded the sun to keep shining until we get a complete victory over our enemies. We do not want this battle to stop in the midst of it. We want to be sure that when this battle is over, that our enemies are completely and totally defeated, and that we're not going to have to deal with them again in terms of what the final outcome of this war is. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, The five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkedah. And Joshua said, Roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue any against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, Open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, Come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near, and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterwards Joshua smote them, and slew them, and hanged them on five trees. and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they'd been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain unto this very day. Now, if you know anything about the New Testament, you understand that this is simply a preview of the New Testament. Joshua here, Pastor John shared several weeks ago about how the Old Testament is written aforetime for our learning. And we're to see a preview of what is to come in these Old Testament stories. They're more than just history. Now, let me identify some characters here. Joshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. So let's see Joshua in our story as Jesus. Let's see the Gibeonites as those against whom five enemy kings, a formidable army, has been arrayed. And they're in such distress, they call out to Joshua, "Come and help us." Now, have you ever thought to call out to Jesus and say, "Come and help me"? Have we ever had that need? Oh, yes, we have, haven't we? We've felt like these Gibeonites, haven't we? Now, what did Joshua do? He went and helped them. What does Jesus do? He comes and helps us. Now, did you notice what happened when Joshua and his army fought against the five kings? He defeated them, didn't he? Then he took the five kings and he hid them in a cave and he put a stone over them so that they could not do any ultimate harm to the children of Israel. But as long as they were still alive, they represented a continuing threat. Now, what did Jesus do on the cross? He defeated our enemies, didn't he? He put them to an open shame, spoiling them in the cross. But yet we sang this morning about, and Pastor David was sharing, has anybody seen the devil this week? Something along that line. Has anybody dealt with any of the activities of the enemy? And many of you said, yes, we have. But then what song did he lead us in? I went to the enemy's camp. I took back what the devil stole from me. Where are my enemies? Now, what did Joshua do when he came back after he'd locked them up and then he had completely destroyed the vestiges of their army? What did he do? He went back to the cave, he rolled the stone away, he got the five kings out, and he brought them out and he presented them to the people and he said, "Here's your enemy. Now what are you supposed to do with him?" Put your foot on his neck. Put him under your feet. Stand on him. Put him where he belongs, underneath you. Now, that's where we are today. We're standing with our feet on the necks of our enemies if we understand what the New Testament Joshua did for us. You get it? Does it strike you how beautiful the Bible is from beginning to end? I tell you, I just marvel. I just absolutely marvel. Now, notice that while the children of Israel were to put their feet on his neck, on the necks of the five kings, on the necks of the enemies, to keep them submitted, all the while the Old Testament Jesus is standing there to make sure that they don't get up. To make sure that we're able to hold them down. So that they can no longer torment us. So they can no longer hurt us unless we do what? We forget who we are. And we forget who our Jesus is, and we lift our feet up off their necks, and they get up and they come after us again, and then we cry out, "Oh, Jesus, help me." But as long as we know who we are, and as long as we know who Jesus is, and as long as we know who the devil is, and we keep our foot on his neck, he cannot hurt us. Jesus said, "Rejoice. No weapon formed against you will prosper," according to Isaiah. He said, "I give you power over all the authority of the enemy. And nothing that he can do can hurt you," as long as you understand what we're talking about today. Now, the war is still not over in the sense that the enemy kings are still available to harm Israel unless they keep their feet on them. Now, what did Jesus, the Old Testament Jesus, ultimately do? let your feet off him temporarily so I can take them out and cut their heads off and hang them on this tree. Now, that reminds me of what we're looking at in the book of Revelation, doesn't it, you, Pastor? And how in the book of Revelation we see that at the end of time, the New Testament Joshua is going to send his angel and grab those kings and throw them in a bottomless pit and chain them there forever, ultimately to wind up in the lake of fire where they can no longer even speak, let alone hurt. Then you won't have to keep your foot on their necks. But today, you better keep your foot on his neck. Otherwise, Peter warns us, be sober, vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, those that do not have their foot on his neck. Those that do not understand their authority in Jesus and do not have him under their feet. As a Christian, you can be hurt. We can still be harmed, but we don't have to be. So I read this passage, and this would make a good song. And they came near, and they put their feet on the necks of them. Did you see verse 25? Thus shall the Lord do to most of your enemies. All your enemies. Thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And so today we're engaged in the battle, aren't we? We're a part of it. The New Testament says that he's waiting while we make his enemies his what? Footstool. Our feet upon his neck where he cannot move. Amen. Amen. You didn't think I could preach a message in 10 minutes, did you? 1201, brother.
Yes.
But did you? Your turn. But did we get anything out of it?
Yes.
Jesus said, it's not how many words you have that get you heard in heaven. It's true from the platform, too. It's not how many words you have. It's what you say with your words. Amen. Now, God's good. See, I couldn't have preached the other message in 10 minutes. But so thank you, brother, for the song. But when we're singing the song, I went into the enemy's camp. And I took back what he's the enemy. What is that? The enemy's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet.
Yes.
Under my feet. Amen. That's the New Testament reality. Glory to God. Glory to God. Do you want to lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus?
Amen.
Thank you for the victory that is mine. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you, Lord, for the victory that belongs to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The enemy is under my feet. Under my feet. And I'm not going to let him up until Jesus says, I've got a good hold on him. Go ahead and let him up. I'm going to take him out. I'm going to throw him in the bottomless pit. I'm going to chain him up there. I'm not letting go until that day. He can't hurt you. Isn't that when I was a boy? I'm done with the message. I'm just playing here now. So. When I was a boy, we used to go out and hunt snakes. I have to tell you, I hate snakes. And if you're a herpetologist, is that what a snake lover is? A herpetologist, something like that? If you're a herpetologist, I hope I don't step on your neck here, on your toes. But you know, God has put a natural enmity between the serpent and between the seed of the woman, and I happen to be the seed of a woman. So it's a natural enmity, but when we would go out hunting, for I was raised on a farm, we went out hunting for snakes, and they were plentiful. What you did with a snake was you put your foot on his neck. And then you got down behind where you could get him, you know, behind the head. You could do anything you want with him. The first thing you did to submit him was get your foot on his neck. Now, if you've ever done any snaking, you understand what I'm talking about. If you don't want to use your foot, use a forked stick or a shovel or some kind of blunt instrument to get on his neck. And that's the way you deal with snakes. You get them on the neck and you hold them still till they cannot hurt you. Now, once you got them by the neck, you're not afraid of them, no matter how poisonous they may be. And once you got the devil by the neck, you don't have to fear him, no matter what power he may think he has. When your foot is on his neck, he can't hurt you. And Jesus is the one that invites you to come and put your foot on his neck. And he'll keep him still till you do it. Amen.